Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. This is your host, Patrick Slattery, and we have a great show today. I will be joined today by Dr. David Duke. Dr. Duke, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Are you there?
I'm here. We're here. So thank you for coming on the show today. I've got lots of things I want to ask you about. You know, your show is a little bit modeled more after, say, Rush Limbaugh, where, you know, it's the you've got somebody giving a monologue. Mine's modeled a little bit more like John Batchelor, where I just want to ask questions. And I've got some questions for you, if you're ready.
Well, I'll certainly try to be. It's a great pleasure talking to you, Doctor. You're an academic and a researcher, economist, also a person who knows a lot about history, and it's really a pleasure to be with you, and it's always a pleasure when you come on my program as well.
Well, okay, thank you. So today, this morning, during the Stormfront show, we had a caller at the end of the show who made a point about, you know, we talked most of the show about the Las Vegas shooting and about the shooter in particular. And he said, you know, this Las Vegas episode is knocking us off our message. And, I thought he had a point. Now, on your show, you've devoted a certain amount of time to it, but today you were talking about obesity. Yesterday you were talking about Trump's tax plan. You've been talking about football. And to the extent you've talked about the Las Vegas shooting, you've focused probably more on the victims, pointing out the victims were white. This was a very white crowd, more than speculating about the shooter. So, Dr. Duke, what do you think about the caller's point that we may be being knocked off message by this Las Vegas incident?
Well, I think it's really important for us to understand always the underlying factors to things. And there's always a lot of theories, and it's very, very early in this entire investigation, and I don't trust every sort of video evidence, because videos are easy to change, and also sometimes things appear different than the way they may be. But I think there's a lot in the narrative that already exists, which is very clearly a sign that the motive of this shooting was very anti-American and anti the core of Americana, which is the European American people. The attack took place against a 99% white audience, one of the few venues where you'd find that kind of attack. And it's very similar to the attack by the Bernie Sanders Marxist-style supporter who attacked the Congressman Scalise, who was also always talked about as a man who went to one of my conferences, my national conferences, and spoke. And I think whenever you see a crime like this or a mass shooting, you have to look at motive. And, you know, we don't have all the facts. The facts aren't in on this thing yet. But, you know, I see whoever did this ultimately, or whatever other factors involved in it, I see a very strong anti-white motive involved here. Now, we don't have all the facts yet, and we don't know what the government's keeping from us. And I think they're keeping a lot of things from us. The fact that the federal government and the authorities within hours said, well, we don't have any evidence of terrorism. Why would they go out on a limb and say, well, there's no evidence this was a terrorist attack? I mean, why was that even necessary? Because obviously when a shooting like this happens and the investigation starts, it takes a while to really get to the bottom of the motivations of people or the facts behind something. We do know that most attacks and most victimization of people, murder or assault against people, especially in crowds, there usually is a motive related to the targets. For instance, when a wife is killed, the first thing the police look at is, did the husband have a motive? Because that's more than likely, in fact, in terms of the history of murder and spousal murder, that the first suspect has to be the husband or wife. Even though it's a horrible thing for a wife to be killed or a husband to be killed, the fact is that who has the motive to kill this individual? And who had the motive, and what was the motive in terms of this mass murder? The interesting thing is that we know that the mass media is producing unending hate propaganda against white people in this country, basically saying and promoting the idea that if white people are even killed, that this is not really a bad thing. I mean, I go back to the Django movie, you know, which was done by the Weinstein brothers, another one of those coincidences. And the Weinstein movie shows a black hero in the movie who says, quote, kill white people and get paid for it. What's not to like? Well, isn't that what happened in Las Vegas? White people were killed. And we had one of the Jewish executives of CBS, a very Jewish individual, one of the vice presidents, actually just show you how much hatred that they have and how much hatred for white Americans and Trump voters or white working people. And that's exactly what this venue represented, which they were singing God Bless America with their cell phones lit just an hour before this happened. What kind of person would do that, really? And for ostensibly no motive, because the police have not been able to identify a motive. Well, what kind of person would do that? Make this long, prearranged process of getting the hotel rooms, getting the weapons, getting everything set up, unless there was, in fact, some sort of an ethnic motive here. As one psychologist that I talked about is investigated, I talked about on my show yesterday, a psychologist named Wellner, who's investigated and dealt with a lot of the mass shootings, who has studied the motivations of them. He says that it's, you know, just a question of someone just shooting people for notoriety. This is unheard of with someone 64 years old, that sometimes young people might do that. But in most cases, there are other motives and political motives. And after this shooting, the CBS executive, and by the way, CBS is run by Mr. Moonves, who is a nephew of Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel. And this reflects kind of the Jewish establishment hatred toward European Americans, because she said she feels no sympathy for these people. These are just Trump voters and, you know, they obviously just white people. She saw no sympathy at all. When you see this carnage of over 500 people injured and shot and suffering and in horrific pain and loved ones losing their mothers or fathers or husbands or wives or sons or daughters. And she has no sympathy for them because, in effect, that they're white. And so obviously, if an CBS executive, in fact, she throws caution to the wind and she actually made these statements publicly, if she's that imbued by hatred, can we not suggest that there's others who are imbued by this kind of hatred? So, you know, I believe, you know, we don't know all the details. There, you know, there may have been more shooters. We don't know yet. We can't say that definitively at this point. There may be, you know, other causes involved, but it seems like, apparently we looked at the guy's background, if he'd have been a white nationalist or a conservative or Republican, and this would have been a black meeting, the media had been all over it saying that this was a racial motivated attack. Instead, what the media did here was they essentially blamed white people for the attack. They said he was a white man. You see how dangerous white people are? In fact, it was just continuing the hatred against white people and how we've got to get rid of white people. And if you read the Huffington Post and you read major media, they constantly blame white people for all the ills of the country and how great it is when whites are a small minority in this country. So if you look at this entire narrative together, for me, it's obviously a very anti-white function. We can't prove that, but I would say the indications are pretty strong that this shooter could have been motivated by that. Mm-hmm. And it could be other motives. It could be that this person who had never really had guns before suddenly in the last year get all these guns and then did this shooting. Could his motivation been to promote gun control legislation to take away the guns from the American people? Mm-hmm. As a like a self-sacrifice, or could it have been other factors? Could he was a big gambler and he could have had big gambling debts and he actually sent huge amounts of money to his Filipino wife in the Philippines at the time, right before this happened. Could the people he owed money to, these institutions in Las Vegas, you know, gave him an out, so to speak, mm-hmm. in terms of helping family members or doing something, if he would do that, that they would forgive the debt or whatever, and he could leave the money to his family or the people that he wanted. We don't know the factors involved, but the whole thing is really fishy that the government came out from the beginning and said, well, there's no evidence that this... Well, what evidence do you really have in the first few hours anyway?
Right. It seems
like, say, we don't... You know, I can understand them saying we don't understand or know all the motives. The investigation's continuing. But to make that kind of statement, to me, shows a political direction in how this whole horrific event's been treated.
Okay. Now, heeding the Stormfront caller's advice, so we'll move on from this topic, and we'll get back on message. Now, your message, you've been one of the few and certainly the most visible voices out there for decades calling out the Jewish domination of our society. And we can understand why a lot of people avoid mentioning Jews. They might use other terms. They might talk about globalists, or, you know, sometimes they'll talk about Nazis instead of Jews. And some people just avoid the topic altogether. But, you know, certainly we need more people to join this course, which is starting to grow. More people are becoming willing to talk about this massive 800-pound gorilla in the room, this, you know, kosher gorilla. But, of course, not everybody can necessarily do it at once. And you think of somebody, for instance, like Tucker Carlson, who has to know. And if you have followed his show over the past several months, he's breached a lot of topics that Jews would not want him to breach. But he doesn't specifically call them out. And for him to specifically call them out at this point, he'd probably lose his job, and that would be that. But then you have other people like, say, Colin Flaherty, who has a YouTube channel. He's already under attack. YouTube already tries to demonetize him because he talks about black crime.
As they've done to me as well.
Yeah, as they've done to you. And so, I mean, he's already... What does he have to lose? Yet, when he was on Tommy Sotomayor's show some months ago, and Tommy Sotomayor brought up the issue of Jewish power in the media, Colin Flaherty said, well, I was a journalist for all these years. I was in so many newsrooms. I don't know what you're talking about. And he's got to know what we're talking about. Who should be coming out now? Who can we forgive for... wanting to keep their job, and where they may be using it for the greater good, even if they're not crossing this line?
Well, that's a hard thing. I think you have to go case by case. However, anybody that pretends to be someone who says that they're fighting for the preservation of Western civilization and Western culture and really the America of our forefathers has to understand that there's a very definite racial component to all this. The idea that America is just a proposition country is not really true. The founding fathers of this country were very conscious of their European ancestry. Almost every major founder of America, including the writer of the Declaration of Independence, said that if the country is divided racially, if it changes its demographic, then America can't be preserved. And you had people that even wrote, that was Thomas Jefferson who was the primary writer of the Declaration of Independence. And they were all white men, and they were all nationalists. In fact, that was the principle of the Declaration of Independence, the right that every people had the right to control their own affairs, that because we're part of the larger milieu of the British Empire, is not really a good thing. We need a government and the people that's close to their own government. It has a government that acts in our interest, in our society, rather than some far-flung globalist British Empire. And so they were whites, and they were nationalists, and they understood this. In fact, the primary creator of our Constitution was also a absolute person who said that we had to preserve the ethnic nature of America, that if we didn't preserve the European nature of America, that we were in crisis. He was, in fact, after he was a president, in fact, he also, like most of our founding fathers, he was actually a member of the American Colonization Society, which wasn't a society about oppressing black people. In fact, it was a society that recognized that it was not a good thing to have slavery, that it was not a good thing for us to bring millions of Africans to this continent and the struggles they suffered. But eventually, the only way we could rectify that and the proper way for the well-being of America, the unity of America, was to repatriate them to their own continent, to Africa, and help them as much as we could, financially and otherwise, construct a society that was in more of their image, where there'd be no white people above them, that they'd have their own country, they'd rule themselves, and whatever kind of society that they themselves wanted to create and could create, they would have the ability to do that. That, to me, is a principle of freedom. The first major immigration act of the United States of America under the Constitution, and by the way, we got to remember the Constitution of the United States also enshrined, was the first, one of the first major documents of government that ever did this, enshrined the fundamental human right of free speech, the idea that a person could have free speech and free conscience. They were talking about political speech, of course. They weren't talking about pornography, and they weren't talking about sickness day, but free speech on any sort of political issue, scientific issue, even religious issue. And this was enshrined in our Constitution. So the guy who was responsible for writing our so-called Bill of Rights and the most important right, which is what the principle we think of most when we think of America, was freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of religion, freedom of the idea that we could express our opinions, whatever they might be. And they were also recognized, these great people of human rights also recognized the fact that European Americans had their right to have a society that reflected their own culture, their own people, their own values, as did Africans, African Americans, who they wanted to try to help them create their own country. And that's kind of interesting when you think about it, isn't it, Doctor, that that these great men of human rights also recognized the idea of race. And the first document, the first policy of immigration to America, was limiting immigration to free white people. That is exactly what the founding fathers believed. Now, that's all been twisted around until people say today that America is simply a proposition nation. And the truth is, it's not simply a proposition nation. It's not a nation simply based on an idea, but on the idea that every natural government, every society, has a government that's based on the interest of the people who compose it and the heritage that's composing it. For instance, in the Declaration of Independence, in the preamble, it says that we, you know, do and ordain, you know, this Constitution of the United States. And it goes on to say, for ourselves, and well, not everybody, ourselves and our posterity. And again, the first Immigration Act was an act that limited immigration to free white people. So we really have a controlled media, and whether or not it's because of the fact that the media is controlled by people who are not European Americans, I think that's a big, big factor in why we don't get the truth about any of this.
Well, we're going to break right after the break. We'll be back. I'll have more questions for Dr. David Duke.
Sure.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
National Pupil Radio. I'm Patrick Slattery, here today with Dr. David Duke. And the last question I asked you was about who could speak up and call out Jewish power. And, you know, I listed a few examples. And, of course, there's also President Trump. Now, of course, he could be impeached, but that doesn't happen overnight the way Tucker Carlson would be fired overnight. And I don't know what we could expect from President Trump. I'd like you to weigh in on it. But I saw something very interesting yesterday. It was just a segment of an interview he had given, and I saw it through the PBS NewsHour. They didn't show the whole interview. He was speaking to somebody, and you only saw the interviewer from behind, but I'm pretty sure it was Geraldo Rivera, who, you know, is half Puerto Rican, half Jewish. And President Trump was saying, well, you know, Puerto Rico, which has this enormous public sector debt, $69 billion, which per capita is just is tens of times larger than other, you know, than U.S. states. It's got this enormous public debt, and President Trump was saying, well, that $69 billion, that's going to be wiped out. That's going to be wiped out. And then speaking to Geraldo, but looking straight into the camera, he says, you know, your friends on Wall Street, they're going to lose these debts. It's going to be wiped out. And, you know, I don't know who's got them at Goldman Sachs, but that's going to be wiped out. Now, the idea of wiping out, of writing off all of the debt Puerto Rico's amassed simply because of being hit by a hurricane, that's not the issue I want to get into. But that President Trump would specifically link Geraldo Rivera to friends on Wall Street, and then in particular Goldman Sachs, I thought that was kind of interesting. What do you – I know you've been interviewed by Geraldo in the past. What do you take – what's your take on this?
Well, Geraldo is always been a very pro-Zionist individual from the very beginning. I mean, he's part Hispanic heritage, and he's part Jewish. And he actually has – when he interviewed me for – it was Good Morning America. This was many years ago. You could see very prominently, I could look at his hand, he had a Star of David tattooed on his hand. Maybe that was one of his tickets to media prominence in America. That's a pretty strong statement. So they have it on a person that we put on the Hispanic hat and the Jewish hat at the same time, and the Jews could feel comfortable about this guy. So when he interviewed me, by the way, it was the biggest con job and deceptive fake news I've ever seen. He interviewed me for about an hour and a half for the Good Morning America show, and they ran about 6 or 7 minutes, and they actually took, in the editing, they took questions that he asked about one thing and put on answers I gave to something else, which made the answer seem somewhat nonsensical or not backed up because it was actually different. They just, that's how badly they edited this thing to try to create this image of me, which was not accurate and not real. And of course, that's what I face every day. I face this image of this avatar of being this vicious, hateful person rather than a person who is actually really concerned about human rights and human well-being. For my own people, my European heritage, which I believe is under attack, we are literally being ethnically cleansed in our own nations of the world. But also, I believe fundamentally in the right of other people to do the same thing. I'm opposed to this globalist policy that we have of building bases all over the world and getting involved in all these Zio wars in the Middle East and elsewhere. So, you know, some things I agree with Geraldo about when he talks on some of the national news media, and some things I don't. But one thing that we can talk about, and you've said this yourself many, many times, is that one way we know the reality of incredible Jewish power from a very tiny percentage of the American people, 2%, is the fact that it's the one power that we can't talk about or point out. We can talk about the power to a degree of the banks. We can talk about a power to a degree of whatever, conservatives or businesses or oil industry or something like that.
Yeah, the liberal
media.
The liberal media.
Right. But we can't talk about an ethnic group that absolutely has a stranglehold on the media. And the ironic thing about the whole process is that they have exactly for themselves, for Jewish interests, for Jewish tribal interests. And by the way, Jews view themselves not simply as a religion. That's, I guess that's part of the camouflage. That's part of the misdirection. Because they say, well, just because they, you know, advance a religion, all religions basically try to advance themselves and, you know, and promote themselves. But they say it's just religious. But the truth is, the Jewish aspect of Judaism and or the Jewish people is far more important about their ethnicity, their race, what they call it. They call themselves a race, by the way. I have headlines from the Forward, Jewish Forward, saying, quote, Jews are a race. And they promote a state of Israel, which is not primarily based. It is a Jewish religious state, but is a state in terms of immigration based on Jewish blood, the Jewish genome, the Jewish genetics, the Jewish genealogy. And that's the Trump factor. I mean, a Jew can be an atheist. A Jew can condemn Judaism or condemn Jewish racism. Or condemn any of this stuff. He can go to Israel as long as a Jew by blood. Whereas, you know, they don't even want Jews to come in who are even religious Jews if they're really Gentiles or if they're not Jews by blood. And there's a lot of struggle about that. They even don't want Ivanka Trump's conversion to Judaism be recognized because basically she's a Gentile. Mm-hmm. This is how it works. It is a racial state. It's an ethno state. It's a state based on ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. And the interesting thing is that this racist ultra supremacist state by Jews is supported by our national media, our New York Times, which is Jewish owned, totally Jewish owned and controlled. I'll give you the names if you need them or your audience. The Washington Post, the major media networks, Hollywood establishment, and all the rest of this. So the situation is right now that we are absolutely in a situation where we have total hypocrisy.
Okay.
So while Jews promote Jewish heritage, Jewish people, Jewish interests, they condemn any European American that wants to preserve our heritage in this country.
Okay, we're coming up on our second break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Radio, Patrick Slattery and Dr. Duke. And Dr. Duke, while we're still talking about Puerto Rico, I saw an article that was pointing out that there's so many homes that are destroyed in Puerto Rico, and there's so many close ties between Puerto Rican families in Puerto Rico and in, say, Florida. I think a lot in Central Florida around the Orlando region. And talking about the relatively strong prospects of having tens of thousands, even more, Puerto Ricans moving to Florida. And of course, Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens, so the moment they get to Florida, they can register to vote in Florida. And the possible impact this would have on the 2020 election. You think back to the 2000 election, Florida went Republican by something like 500 votes. And this time around, it was also a key swing state that Trump won. But if you wind up with several tens of thousands of Puerto Ricans who are going to pretty much vote solidly Democrat, this could make Puerto Rico into a reliably blue state. What do you think of that, Dr. Duke?
Well, isn't it amazing, Doctor, when you really consider this fact that the same media establishment, the Jewish media establishment, and it is overwhelmingly Jewish, and the Hollywood establishment, which is overwhelmingly Jewish, almost every major studio is run by Jews, that the same media establishment that tries to say that you shouldn't be based on demographics, and demographics has no input in the country, all working very, very hard to change the demographics of America. I mean, isn't that fascinating? In other words, demographics don't matter, but let's do every sort of immigration policy we can to make sure that we continue to make European Americans a much less majority force in the country, and ultimately a minority force in America. So yeah, the demographics, as an historian, as a PhD in history, I can tell you, in my study of history, in fact, the history of the world, history is far more a study of demographics and the effect of demographics on every aspect of society, whether it be their science or whether it be their religion or whether it be their culture or their governmental structure. Demographic change is fundamental change almost to any country. Mm-hmm. And that's just the reality of life. Mm-hmm. And when one country is conquered by another, either physically and then people are moved into that country, or people simply replaced by massive immigration, or differential birth rates between groups, this has a dramatic impact on all aspects of that nation. So the same Jewish media who very much is protective of the demographics of Israel and supports Israel, even though Israel becomes more Jewish country every year because of racial, ethnic, genetic discrimination against non-Jews, who are ethnically cleansing Palestinians, it's the same media that, you know, looks forward to the demographic replacement of whites in this country. So, yes, if we have many Puerto Ricans come to this country, we see their voting pattern in Puerto Rico. We see the pattern of the people coming from Mexico. We see the pattern. And by the way, this becomes stronger, in fact, more left with each generation, not less left. The fact is that demographics are real, and when they are the majority, they destroy all of the interests and the true rights of the American people. For instance, like gun control. If you look at the polling of blacks and Puerto Ricans and Mexicans and all that about gun control and through their organized groups, that they're for taking away the guns from the American people. The only way they can change that demographic reality is by changing. It's like winning a debate, not by winning the argument, but by changing the people in the room who vote for the debate. And this is what's really going on. I mean, the people who say, for instance, the NFL controversy has nothing to do with race. It's just about America. It's ridiculous. Just look at the people who are standing and look at the people who are sitting or taking a knee. And look at the attitudes of our Jewish-controlled media, which is very supportive of the blacks who are taking a knee and disrespecting the flag. And yeah, but now that's one good thing about it is that people begin to see now that they are now taking they're coming out really against American tradition, American founders, American heritage, American values, American flag, American anthem. So the mask is being taken off of them. Mm-hmm. And as you say, I think it's going to be damaging not only to us, but to everybody. But this is how they maintain their power. They have to continue to try to weaken the greatest single plurality in the country, European Americans, keep us from standing up for our own interests, our own heritage, our own values. that's the only way they can control our foreign policy, our economic policy, our banking policy.
And I'm going to give out the call-in number just in case we can get a call or two in before the end of the show. That's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Now, I had Mark Collette on the show yesterday, and I asked him a question. We've been talking about Muslim immigrants into Britain and how terribly problematic they are for that society. And then I asked him about the Indians who don't have the high birth rate, don't have the high welfare dependency. And I asked him, the Indians in Britain, are they coming out against immigration? Are they alarmed at this flood of Muslims coming into the country and thinking they're gonna wreck everything for us? They're gonna wreck things for everyone. And so my question to you is, in the United States, you know, we've got Chinese immigrants coming in who aren't committing crime, but of course China's got over a billion people. We could be flooded. If you were a Chinese or Korean immigrant, wouldn't it be in your interest to just say, hey, let's slam the door behind us, because why would we want to sink our life raft? Why would we want to sink the boat that we managed to scramble onto?
You would think that. The problem is that they also are manipulated by a media that's very anti-white, and they talk about grievances that they may have against white people because we had restrictions immigration before or whatever they might do. And again, these groups tend to be voting far more Democratic, leftist than right groups, and to even have more open immigration. So that's one of the issues. You got to understand Jewish power. They're only 2% of the population, even though we're still 62 or 64% of the population, European Americans. We're facing massive discrimination right now in our colleges or universities. There's discrimination. Harvard, even though we're 70% of the top performing students in America, European Americans, we're in third place democratically or demographically at Harvard. We're only about 20% of Harvard. Jews, who are 2% of the population, are 25%. And by the way, that's not because they have more merit. Jews are perhaps between 2 and 3% of the most meritorious high school graduates, according to National Merit Scholarships, but they have 25% of the positions at the most powerful, influential universities that form the American elite in the United States of America. And Asians, by the way, who are, again, about 5% of the population, and maybe 7 or 8% of the are around that area of the best qualified students. They're 23% or 22.5% of Harvard. So the way that the Jewish elite views it is that any way that they can weaken the American white majority, that they're going to be able to maintain their control through divide and conquer the rest of the country. In other words, if they can, anytime they lessen our power and replace us, not only with a Jew in the Ivy League or Tulane or any of the major universities, but not only will they weaken us that way and replace us, but they know that every time they replace us in terms of the American elite, that's one less white person who will galvanize this largest population group, the founding elements of America, to defend the interest of white people and the rest of the country from this tiny Jewish percentage that leads us into these disastrous wars and that basically okays this Goldman Sachs Federal Reserve type banking system that is a vast and massive robbery of the American people and people, in fact, all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've seen TV interviews with, say, a Korean, I don't know if she was born in America or not, but and she was just decrying white supremacy. And yet it seems to me that an Asian American would be much better living as a relatively small minority in the United States than in some Zionist-led, multicultural, conflictive, entity where they're going to have where there's just going to be
one reason I think, Doctor, why they can be manipulated is because people really have a natural affinity for supporting each other, their particular group, their particular interest. They're a small minority in America, the Asian people, whether you be Chinese or Japanese or Asian and Korean, and so they can be manipulated to defend their own interests, like they're fighting for their proper treatment in terms of acceptance in universities today. And you can do that even for Megan. You can talk about that in the New York Times. You can't talk about the whites. White people are even more discriminated against Asians. So that's natural. What's happening is because of the control of the media, they've so demonized white people. They've created so much self-hate about how evil white people are constantly that, you know, they try to countervane this natural feeling of people to support themselves. And every other group is promoted that way. That's why I think the demographic change, not simply Mexicans or Puerto Ricans or, you know, are black people coming in, but all different races that are not going to identify themselves as white, who have an identifiable group, that this is a way that the Jewish tiny minority uses to divide and conquer and have the control that they do over our society for their benefit and their ethno-state of Israel. And the hypocrisy of this is just absolutely amazing, but it's very obvious once you look into it. We talked in my show. I have a show on the Rents Radio Network. I was on the previous hour about 11 a.m. Eastern time, and we talked about a film called Hollywoodism by the Jacobucci brothers, a Jewish documentary about how the Jews invented Hollywood and how that they were part of the shadow of America and they changed America. They made America over in their values rather than the traditional American values. So This is a problem. But to talk about it from a standpoint of a Gentile or a white person is almost impossible in this country. They call you anti-Semitic, even though Jews themselves, see, David Brooks, the New York Times, the totally Jewish-owned New York Times, by the way, it's got eight people, all Jewish Zionists, Jewish supremacists, Jewish tribalists control the New York Times, totally. And he writes an article for the paper saying The Chosen Getting In, where he says he talks openly about the Jewish takeover of America and the Jewish takeover of the American elite. So they can boast about it. But if a Gentile talks about the fact that 2% is subverting the interest of the 98% non-Jewish majority of this country in these insane wars and banking policies and these values that are not really the basis of our people, like the Hollywood's putting out, if they talk about that, then you're called anti-Semitic and hateful. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think anything I've said in this program or you said in this program is hateful or horrible at all. It's normal for people of a particular heritage and values like Western Christian people to want to defend their own values and heritage. And yet they treat me and they characterize me as some sort of like a demon, you know, just like this avatar. It's not even the real David Duke.
That's right.
They evoke my name all the time. As, you know, for what? Because I defend the rights of white people, that we shouldn't face discrimination in jobs, employment, scholarships, that we shouldn't have our heritage defamed, that we shouldn't have our heroes' statues taken down, that we shouldn't have the values of our children that they grow up with, decent values of family and home and morality, not obscenity and murder and mayhem and degeneracy. That, you know, is that somehow, does that make me a terrible guy? I don't think so. I think we're moving to a very degenerated and destructive society in this country, and we're losing all of our fundamental American values and rights, including our freedom of speech, which I talked about earlier.
Okay, we have a caller, William from Montana. I've had him on my podcast in the past. I've talked to you about him, Dr. Duke. William, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Dr. Duke and Dr. Slattery. Very interesting discussion. I find that, you know, one of the things that we need to do is to try to find ways to, for us to escape, you know, chasing after all of these details about this shooting, because it so takes us off of our, you know, our talk, our message. And I find that, you know, what this whole thing is really also promoting is fear and instilling a sense of vulnerability, and with that, like a need to ask for protection. And of course, you know, who do we ask for protection but the very people that we need in many ways to defend ourselves from?
I think that's a good point, and that's one of the problems of all the different quote conspiracy theories of one kind or another, because it can take off the basic fundamental issue here. The issue is that This was a terrible atrocity against European Americans. It was European Americans were targeted. That's obviously for whatever reasons they were, and that European Americans have interests as well. And we have a media climate. For instance, I talked earlier about the CBS executive, this woman, who is got a name like Goldman Sachs almost, but who basically talked about she had no sympathy for these people because obviously they were white. I mean, this is disgusting. This is the major theme of the media. So I think the facts on the ground lend themselves to understand that there is a war going on against our heritage, and that unless we begin to stand up for our heritage and our rights and our freedoms and our traditions and our people, we're going to lose everything of value in our country. And if we get caught up in all the different aspects of whether this was, you know, Muslims doing it, or whether this was this other element, or whether this was different shooters, or it kind of takes away from the fundamental thing that where the leftist media was actually promoting this and right. And actually celebrating it.
Okay, we have one more break. We'll be back for another segment. William, please stick around if you can.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com.
Okay, and we are back. That is our theme, our bumper music from Filbert Applebag. You will want to check him out. This is Patrick Slattery with David Duke and William from Montana. And Dr. Duke, you, of course, you lived for a few years in both Russia and in the Ukraine. And William is someone, he's got an interest in this area, and he even taught himself to read Russian so that he could follow events over there. William, if you have anything, I know you follow all sorts of overseas events. Is there anything you'd like to raise, any issues you'd like to raise and discuss with Dr. Duke?
Yeah, one of the things that I see with this whole type of thing that so completely takes over the airwaves, I mean, in a sense, it really is an assault on our First Amendment rights because it controls our free speech. I mean, we have to speak about this. And what I see is there are so many other critical things that are happening in the United States and also in the European news that I follow and in the Russian news I follow that is very important, and all of this stuff is being wiped out. I mean, we don't hear about it. And I always look at these other issues and I say, is there a causal relationship here? I'm not sure I'd go that far, but it certainly is convenient that these other very important issues are completely eliminated.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example there, William.
Well, I mentioned this on Patrick's show before, is that while this was all going down, The whole thing that was happening in Catalan, you know, in Barcelona with their voting was just starting, and the incredible police brutality that the federal Spanish federal police brought down on this referendum, that was just beginning to head into and getting some coverage, usually like, you know, way, way down the list. But that is one of the most critical things. If you look at the European press, you will find that brought a lot of these issues to head. You know, the whole thing of, you know, the right for self-determination of a people who have a unique culture, a unique language, a unique history, and how this is a very important issue, especially in the EU, because they have the same type of, you know, suppressive, oppressive qualities to it, and some people in the European community are starting to speak up about this, and that's a message I think that they want to stop, you know, seeing examples of. And then the Catalan, Barcelona, Catalonia people is a very good example to watch to sort of see what's happening there and what will maybe start happening here. And that's one of the issues I feel that got
that's
taken
really
off
good
of the...
Point. And again, I'll bring that in with the Jewish question, because that's the critical issue that we're facing in Western civilization, in fact, in the world. This Jewish supremacist position and power that they have. And in my studying of the Jewish question, I don't know if you've read my books, My Awakening in Jewish Supremacism. I hope you have.
Yes, I have.
And as I show there, the Jewish establishment loves the consolidation of power. They love globalism. They love the biggest political entity is something they feel that they can concentrate on and control by infiltrating the mechanisms of power in those areas. When you have more independent nations and societies and more self-rule, that's kind of a weakness for them, because then you can get a more of a, not a diversity of population, but a diversity of opinion. And you have a lot more opportunity when even democracy is always better when it's a smaller entity. Because I'll give you an example. I was in a nation, the nation called Bahrain, gave a speech there, and it's a country of only 600,000 people. But they have 600 members of their parliament, which means there's 1,000 citizens for every member of parliament. Doesn't take any money to run for parliament. You know, you live in an area, you can knock on the doors easily, you can go to a few functions, and people can judge you on your basis of your ideas, your issues, and not how the media treats you, or not how much money you raise. The Greeks understood this. I mean, the Greeks, for instance, in the Greek city-states, you only had a couple hundred thousand people, and most of them, at most. And so they had a true more feeling for the people and a true more ability to tell the truth, whereas special interests, like the Jewish special interests, can control the media that affects millions of people, or when you have a congressman or senator.
I hear our swan song, Dr. Duke. I don't know if you hear it, but we're coming up on the end of the show.
Well, thank you, William, very much. I hope that was enlightening.
Thank you, Dr. Duke, for coming on. And William, I'd love to do an interview with you sometime. Just let me know when you're ready.
DavidDuke.com, by the way. So, everybody, I look forward to hearing from you. And please read my books. I think it will give you a great education. Appreciate it.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of...
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.